Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Y'all good today? I said to the Lord this morning, I was talking to him, I said, I was kind of torn between what I was preaching, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach on today? He said, preach on hope. Hope. Hope, that's a fun thing. That's a nice thing. I can see me being the nice pastor when I'm preaching on hope, not the mean pastor, okay? You hold me to that, Kevin? Okay, all right. But he did. He said he wanted me to preach on hope. Now, a little bit of a warning this morning. I was terribly sick on Friday night. It took you a long time to react to that. Wow, I didn't get any sympathy. I had to pull sympathy from you. Wow. I coughed all night long. Oh, man. Yeah, you guys are tough. Tough it out, Pastor. Rub some dirt on it. Come on. I did. I was really sick. And so I don't take medicine any more than I have to. I mean, I just try to avoid that stuff. I was feeling a little better on Saturday. I was about at 60%. And I was wondering, like, should I even try to preach today? And the Lord said, come on, man, buck up. Put some dirt on it, you know? And so I put some dirt on it, but I also took some medicine this morning. So what I'm about to share, I'm hoping is going to be more God than medicine. But I'm going to give a disclaimer at this point that if there's anything, if I go off track too far and say anything, just know that the things that I'm about to say may not be the opinion of City Church. So I think I'm okay. But I was really sick. And my spiritual father would say, no, you missed your cue, man. Yeah. My Papa Jack would always, like, he would always play it up. He said, I'm sick, like that. And, of course, all the sons would be, oh, Papa, you know, buck up. Come on. All right, so anyway. So, hope. Everyone say hope. Matter of fact, look at someone and say, come on, get your hope on. Hope is not an option. Hope is a necessity in the body. Hope is a necessity for you in your walk. It's one of the three big ones, the big three. And I'll show you that in a little bit. So just as a little bit of background, we're made in the image and likeness of God, right? Body, soul, spirit, right? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. He's explaining this life that we're walking as believers. And he's saying, look, all day long, all our lives, we've been looking at the unseen realm, right? But that's not as important as the unseen realm. Did I say that right? Yes. Okay. You say, well, wait, what? Look, the seen realm is that which is detected by our five senses. But there is more than that. As a matter of fact, God intended... In the beginning, creation was all one. It was heaven and earth was one. And we as human beings functioned in that realm perfectly. And we walked with God and we were part of creation. And we were perfectly creative with God. And we had understanding with God. And so, excuse me. So when we walked in this perfection, this state of perfection, we had this amazing perfection in who we were, right? Like, you know, we would do things with God, and I mean, the whole idea was that he had this place that was his epicenter for he and his relationship with man. It was called Eden, the garden, the place that man and God met. And then God said to man, hey, go out and take dominion over the whole earth. And so what man's job was to go out and to bring the whole earth into submission to what God intended. And that doesn't mean bringing bad to good. There was no bad at that point. It meant being creative with God, establishing God's order, establishing things the way God wanted them to be established, for his beauty to extend throughout the whole earth. And so it was man's job to take creation and to help bring it to the place where it reflected the heart of God, or it was the glory of God. The word glory, we know, means the manifest opinion of God. You think of it in this way. Think of it in the terms of in ancient Rome, when there were the time of the Caesars, you had these people sent out, the emissaries, or they were called literally apostles. Not in the religious sense, but in the government military sense. And the job of that person being sent, the apostle that was sent from the Roman government, was to go into a land that the military took over and brought into submission militarily and bring the culture into submission to the Roman way. Not just in thinking, but in architecture, in facilities, in infrastructure, in all of these things to create. That's why Janice and I were in London a number of years ago, and we were at a place called Dover. There was a castle there, Dover Castle. But beside Dover Castle was a Roman structure that was built. Listen to this, was built at the time that Jesus was walking the earth. Rome had expanded not just into the Middle East, but it expanded throughout Europe, even as far as it was called then, I believe, Britannia. And they were creating structures there that reflected. Why? Why is that? Because the job of the apostle was to make the land that they lived reflect the land that they were from. Or can I say it this way? Their job was to image the land that they were sent to, making it similar to the land that they were from. You remember in Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Now, when God did that, he was saying that man is going to look or reflect who we are. But now, here's the interesting thing about God. When God does something, it's always far beyond what we can think of. Like, for example, when you talk about, like when we say, sir, what is your name? You would say, Conlon. Is that your only name? Conlon, is that your only name? Conlon Rhys Higbee is your full name, right? Okay, so that is his name. That's when we... But that's in our culture. In all our culture, when we ask someone their name, we're asking the way you are identified, legally even. If you looked at his driver's license, It would say on there, if I said, how do we identify this man? He would pull out his driver's license or his passport, either one. And he would say, this is how the government recognizes me, right? Okay. But in God's culture, in the people of God, in the Jewish culture, in the time of Jesus, and even before that, when you use the word name, it was much more than that. When you said you came in someone's name, when you spoke of that person's name, you didn't just use the moniker by which they were identified. The word name represented everything about this man, Conlon Reese Higbee. All his wealth, all of his interests, all of his desires, everything about Conlon. When I said, I'm going to share with you his name, that means you got everything of Conlon. It was almost as if Conlon himself was being given to you. That's why when we say, when I come in the name of Jesus, I'm not coming in just the words that identify him. I'm coming, it's as if he himself is coming with me. So when the apostle was coming into a land, he was coming in the name of Caesar. He was bringing the image that Caesar desired and reflecting it on the land that he was occupying. When God said to mankind, I'm making you in my image, it wasn't just the picture or the visual presentation of who God is. It is the fullness of who God is in his creativity, in his ability, in his passions, in his desires, that he vests all of that in Dave because he made Dave in his image and likeness. And now when Dave goes someplace, Dave is not only, you're not only seeing Dave in the same way you're seeing God, because he's made in the image of likeness of God, but he's reflecting that outward and changing what is around him to reflect what God desires. Are you with me? I'm building this foundation for a purpose. Because we have to understand how important hope is. This region, to a large extent, has been exempt of hope. Many of us have lost hope. And I would submit that for the people that have hope, there is an attractiveness in this land. For the people that possess, all right, let me back up just a little bit and help. Let's bring some definition to this. What exactly is hope? What is it? I mean, I know it's a word that we use frequently, but may I just say that hope is defined as the constant expectation of good things. Let me add this last part from God. The constant expectation of good things from God. Or at his hand, all right? So hope is the constant expectation of good things from God's hand, all right? I'm going to quiz you on that. What is hope? The constant expectation of good things from God's hand. Good, you did good. That was excellent. One more time. Hope is the constant expectation of good things from God's hand. Okay, why is that important? I mean, after all, he's God and he can do what he wants to. That's true. He can. But he chose to include you. And he chose to include you to be a vital part of what he is up to. As a matter of fact, he allows you to be so much a part of what he is up to. If you choose not to, then it is not. There's a scripture I want to turn to. It's in Lamentations. Oh, I said to you that hope is part of the big three. Here's the verse I'm referring to, 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, now abide, everyone say abide, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, it doesn't say the only one of these that's important is love. It says the greatest of these is love, which is absolutely certain. Why? Because love is who we are, because why? Our Father is love. Okay? So love is who we are, but we operate in faith and hope. Part of the operating system of who we are must be faith and hope. And one is linked to the other directly. If you don't have hope, you will not have faith. We know the scripture, all right? I believe it's Hebrews 11:1. I think I have that in my notes, don't I? If not, I'll just quote it. Yeah, I do. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, everyone say faith, is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen, okay? And I'll continue in the next two verses. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God, by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, the things which are seen, that we see with our five senses, that we taste, touch, smell, hear, feel, those things we are able to sense them. And for the largest part, until we're born again and our spirit comes alive, we think that's all there is. But here's what the writer is saying. Those things were formed not by things which are visible, but by the invisible realm. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The things which are seen actually come from the invisible realm or the realm of heaven. Are you with me? May I say it another way? If you want to see something that is not, you need to access somewhere you are not now accessing. That if you want to see things here, you need to access them there. Now, I teach this a lot, but listen, we've got to get this. Please, if you're just gonna like get your ears tickled on this one, that's good message, Pastor. I don't care that you think it's a good message. If you don't put it to work, it was useless. You've got to put this thing to work. And so God is saying that, hey, listen, guys, I made you like me. I want you to image heaven here on the earth. Look, you guys screwed it up. You get to be part of the fix. Right? If you read my book, it's so good that I can't even remember the title of it. What is it? Childlikeness something or other? Yeah, what's the full title? Marked by Childlikeness. Thank you very much. Medicine. Okay. All right. You would find a story in there about this young gentleman by the name of Conley Reese Higby. Okay? And he, may I share the story? I mean, I wrote it publicly. Why not, you know? So he's playing a video game. And somebody does the unthinkable in the video game. And so he turns and he punches the wall. He comes to me. I think you called me. And at his mom's behest. And he's like, Dad, there's a weak spot in the wall. What? Well, there must be a weak spot in the wall because I kind of hit it. And it just like exploded, something like that. I don't know what it is. Wait, so you punched the wall and you broke the wall. Well, yeah, okay. well, it's okay? Oh, no, it's not okay. You broke the wall. Oh, okay. Oh, I said, well, you're going to have to be part of fixing it. And so, sure enough, I said, we'll talk about it later. Okay. And so, I encourage you, by the way, get the book. It's very good. Marked by childlikeness. Yeah, yeah. But it tells the full story. The point is that he had to be part of the fix. And he actually had to pay a contractor. I actually had him go to Sammy. And I made Sammy charge the full price, not discounted or anything like that. Because he had to, and why should Sammy take the hit for what he did? Why should he discount it? So because of his foolishness. I wanted him to feel the full weight and pain of what he did, but I also wanted him to be part of a good fix. God wants us to be part of a fix, and sometimes it's painful. And that's okay. The pain actually will form us into someone better. If God pulls back some of the pain, it may not form us the way we need to form, because pain often motivates us to do things we wouldn't otherwise do. Touch the stove and see if I'm not wrong. So the writer is saying, look, the unseen realm actually forms the seen realm. Now, that's important for us to understand. So that means that if we are going to get anything done different in the seen realm that is what is currently being done, we have to access the unseen realm. And God is saying to us that, hey, listen, you have to abide or live. That's what abide means, right? Abide means live. You have to live in faith, hope, and love. You have to live there. This is your abode. This is your dwelling place. You live in these three things because I made you to be able to image what I am here on the earth, that I'm going to restore my kingdom to the earth. You guys been part of the mess up? You're going to be part of the fix. You caused earth to be separated from heaven. You caused the seen and unseen realms to separate. Now, I'm going to teach you how to function in the unseen realm to bring it into the seen realm. Are you with me? And it's going to hurt a little bit. There's going to be a lot of adjustment. You're not going to do things the way you used to do them. You can't seek your own because you've got to walk in love. You got to believe in someone bigger than you. That's called faith. You actually have to believe that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. That's faith. You have to be walking in a constant expectation of good at my hand. You say, well, dude, I don't know that I'm doing that now. I understand. That's painful to know that. But that's okay. Because if you know the truth, if you embrace the truth, even if it causes you some pain, it will bring freedom to you. You say, okay. Excuse me. I get it. Okay, so... we're to walk in love and faith and hope. But how do we do that? Well, okay, go back to Lamentations. And I want to see in the Word, I want to see this thing kind of unpackaged. Lamentations 3, 16 through 26. First several verses are a guy just talking about his situation. Since he's also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes, you've moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I have said my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul remembers and sinks within me. Now, just pause for a second there. This dude is in a funk. Has anyone, don't raise your hand, has anyone here ever been in a funk? We all have. We get in this funk. The question is, why do we get in the funk and what can get us out? How many want to know that? Let me see your hand if you want to know that. Okay. Next verse. This I recall to my mind. Everyone say, this I recall. Say it one more time. This I recall. Say it a little bit louder like you mean it. This I recall. All right, that's a key. Remember that. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Huh? This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What is it he's about to recall? Let's check it out. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Hello! Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. What is the changing point? The changing point is when this man recalled to his mind, therefore hope came. If you remember, David experienced one of the most difficult times of his life when he was fleeing Saul and he went over to the Philistines. And he was about to go into battle with the Philistines against Israel. And one of the Philistine generals said, hey, no, you can't have David come with us. Like, he could turn on us. And the general that was David's friend said, man, you don't know David. He's not like that. If he goes to battle with us, he's with us. But nevertheless, David, you stay back. He went back home and he found that the Amalekites had come, raided his village, stole his wives, his children, his cattle, his donkeys. Everything they had got stolen. The Amalekites were a nasty, nasty people. Hey, listen, you know, when something happens like that, man, your mind begins to race. What in the world is happening to my children right now? What is happening to our wives? Oh, Lord God, protect them. Oh, God, keep them from evil. I think sometimes our prayers are reflecting the darkness that we embrace rather than the hope that God wants us to have. And may I suggest to you that those prayers that we pray out of our extrapolated darkness are not effective. I think sometimes these prayer chains and intercession groups and so on, they're so full of despair and so lack the hope that God intends, they lack the mind of God, that they get nothing done except make everybody feel bad. This man was in a funk. And then he realized what he was doing. And it says he recalled to his mind and therefore he had hope. And then what did he do? He began to speak out the goodness of God in the land of the living. He went back to Ziklag. He found his family. He was kneeling in the ashes of his burned city. His children are taken. His wives are taken. All of their wealth is taken, and now these men are so angry with David that they're going to stone him. I believe that if David would have continued in his line of thinking, he would have been stoned and dead, and we would have never saw David as king. Now, I want you to listen to me. You say, well, there was prophetic words over David that he's anointed king. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he absolutely was anointed king. Well, that means he was going to become king. Oh, no. If he doesn't partner with God in this moment, If he allows despair to overtake his mind, he loses the very call that's on his life. And God will allow it to take place. Now, does he still go to heaven? Sure. But if that's your goal in life, just to get to heaven, you have a very low goal.
Right. That's it. Right.
This is the proving ground for there. Yes. What we accomplish here will determine what we can do there.
Yes.
The fight is here. We don't have to fight there. This is hard. But how we fight here will determine what we get there. So we got to learn to fight. And listen, walking in hope is a fight. You got all kinds of thoughts bombarding you continually with despair. Just turn on the news. No, may I make a suggestion? Turn off the news. Shut Facebook off. I mean, there's some good stuff on Facebook or Insta Twerp or whatever, Tick Splat. Whatever. I don't know. Sorry, guys. Young people are like, oh, these adults. What all are they? TikTok. No, you don't do them. Yeah. What are they?
Snappygram.
Is that what they're called, Faith? No, what is it? What are they? What's the ones you like to do? Do you like Snapchat? What's your favorite app? Do you not want to say? Snapchat? Okay. Yeah. There's good stuff on there. But you got to watch what you got to watch what you watch. Dude, it's easy to get sucked into that stuff though. Like, I'm telling you, like it, and they're made to catch you. Like it's like, "Oh, that's interesting. I'll click on it. Oh, wait, there's the next one. Oh, 15 minutes later you're still watching this stuff and you're thinking, "Why did I waste this much time?" Anyway, that's me. All right. All right, so let me bring this to a close. Is it really only 10:57? Wow. What'd you say? I really don't know how to take that. But it sounds like a smart aleck comment. I just don't know how. All right. So hope is defined as what? The constant expectation of good things at the hand of God. Say it again. The constant
expectation of good things at the hand of God.
Okay. Why is that necessary? Because there's something that we as the people of God have to live in. No. Let me say it this way. That's not true. I almost said something that wasn't true. We as human beings live in expectation. We all live in expectation. The question is, what are you expecting? You could be expecting sickness. You could be expecting more poverty. You could be expecting less than enough. You could be expecting to be healthy. You could be expecting to have no pain. You could be expecting to be wealthy. You could be expecting many things. We all live in expectation. We're all going to use our energy, our heartbeats, our breath, our thinking. We're going to use it to be in expectation somewhere. The question is, where are we in expectations? And may I suggest to you that our expectations come from the thoughts that we embrace. You with me? Then I need to ask this question. Where are your thoughts coming from? I'm not joking. I don't watch news very often. I will listen to some news almost daily. I catch little sound bites of just so I can keep up with what's happening. But I got to be careful even with that. The Lord will tell me time. Nah, I don't want you to catch up today. Let it go. Why? Because he wants to influence me, and there were things on there that he did not want to influence me. Because I'm telling you, I can get pretty wound up about some of that stuff. Wait, they did what? They want to pass what law? Are you with me? Yes. All right. So let me keep going. One day I was at a place that we met with Papa Jack. This is probably 15, 20 years ago. Place called Fire Creek. I loved this place. It was beautiful, and it was in the mountains of North Carolina. Had three beautiful houses on it that were, some of you have been there with me. Just an incredible place in the woods. There was a meadow that they had, a pond, a barn. I mean, it was just perfect setting for a small conference. And so I was walking from one of the houses up to the other, first thing in the morning. I tend to get up pretty early, sometimes before daylight, and I always head to wherever there's coffee, and there was coffee up at the other house. And so I want to have coffee and sit and spend my time with the Lord, right? So I'm heading up to the other house, and I walk by this one area where this wood is piled up, and all of a sudden, I get this really weird, fearful kind of feeling. Spooky. It's late at night. I'm early in the morning, actually. But it's dark. And I'm telling you, there was something. It was spooky. Have you ever experienced something like that? I mean, you go past a place, and it's like, I didn't feel it 10 feet before. Didn't feel it when I was 30 feet past it. Not quite. But I'm telling you, when I walked past this place, there was just a feeling. And I'm telling you, just about that fast, a thought comes into my mind and says, you're going to get touched by evil. I mean, I almost like looked around, like, is there something going to jump out at me? Is there a wookalar somewhere? And I mean, I'm there at a son's conference, right? And I mean, what the heck is this? And I thought, wait a minute. I'm protected. God is my defense. I reject this, and I'm as quickly as I said, I reject this spirit of fear just that fast. It was like, shh, gone. See, darkness can't cause you to think a certain way. It can't cause you to feel a certain way. But it can suggest. It can offer you thoughts. And if you embrace those thoughts, then they connect the thinker to the source of those thoughts. And the thinker, the one who's embracing that thought, begins to pull from that realm. Now hear me on this. Paul said this. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. And later in that it says, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and when your obedience is complete, be ready to punish all disobedience. Now watch this. He's saying, look, we got to deal with principalities and powers and spirits and those kind of things. But then he brings it down into the lowest form, the lowest common denominator. Why can those things have any sway over you whatsoever? It's going to be in your thought life. The most basic thing that you got to take control of, and you are the only one who has control over your thought life. I got to say that again, because some of you don't believe me. You are the only one that had your parents, your children, your spouse. No one has control over your thought life. What you choose to think are thoughts that you embrace. You say, well, you know, people influence me. They can only influence and offer you a thought You say, well, but they just keep going and keep going and I can't help it. Stop it.
Yes.
You're telling me you can't help what goes on the inside. They're not on the inside of here. Well, yeah, they're in my head. No, they're not. They just think they are. No one has the ability to be inside your head except for God himself. And he loves you. The devil doesn't even get inside your head. He just offers you thoughts. So you think he's inside your head. And trust me, it can seem like he is. See, what happens is the thoughts you embrace, where they come from, their source gives a direct line connection. And if I embrace those thoughts, then I begin to, like a rope, a lassoed rope, pull from that realm. Despair, disease, death, diabetes. Ooh. Love. Blessed. More than enough. I taught not too long ago about living from a place of provision and not a place of need. How many remember that message? Let me see your hands. Oh, wow, a lot of you. Thank you. Wow, see? I said to the Lord this morning, though, I said, Lord, I haven't seen the abundance of provision I was expecting after preaching that message. You know what he said to me? He said, son, when has anything worth having not been worth fighting for? He says, if you don't fight for the thing that I... He said, the promised land was not given to Israel. They had to fight for it. Now, here's the crazy part. God said, it's yours, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. It's all yours. But that's not how God does things. He wants you to be part of the process. Why? Because let's be honest. Can we just be honest as kids? Like, we're all God's kids. Can we just have just us talk for a minute? Come on, let's all be real. We know doggone well that if we're just given something, we're not going to appreciate it. If we're just given something, we don't got to fight for it. If God just throws at us all kind of stuff, you know what I mean, right? Like if he gives us everything we ask for and we don't have to do anything to be part of it, you know what our nature is. We'll just not appreciate it. And then, you know what we'll do? We'll use that up and we'll expect a whole lot more. And we'll not use what he gave us correctly. Why? Because we don't value it correctly. What you don't value correctly, you don't use correctly. That's why people need to be valued correctly in your life, because you'll value them correctly and be able to implement them in your life the right way. Are you with me? Same with anything in your life. Look, I'll be perfectly frank. That's why gambling is such a danger. When you get that big windfall, it's gone. Why? Because you didn't do a whole lot. It was luck. Lady Luck brought it to me. Sometimes I think it was the devil. All right, let's finish this up. Hope. Chris Vallotton said this. He said, faith sees, hope feels. If hope feels, then isn't that just a response to our circumstances and situation? And I would say no. I don't believe so. In the same way that we choose to put our faith in a particular place, we choose where we put our hope. I believe we connect our hope to what thoughts we allow. May I suggest to you, your hope will look a whole lot different if you get control of your thought life. You say, well, dude, I've been living my whole life, and I've been living in despair. I've never had hope. I mean, It just seems like, you know, I mean, it's one crap sandwich after another. Okay, that's fair. Life can dole out some unhealthy meals. But you don't need to live there anymore. You can change the way you live. And I'm not asking you to put your faith in a Tony Robbins self-help project for $19.99. I'm just telling you that the one who created you in his image and likeness, the one who has given you life, his own breath, the one who loves you more than anyone on this planet ever has loved you, if you trust him and talk with him and get your thoughts from him, you will have hope. You say, wait a minute. I don't hear God like you do, Pastor. I mean, I'll just be honest. I've talked to God before, and he's not spoken to me. Yeah, I know. You say that about your kids, too. You say that about your wife, your husband. We just don't talk anymore. Well, that's your choice. Why? My kids, they don't want to talk to me. Well, how about talking to them about what they like to talk about? Here's what I find about my kids. When I want to talk to them, I'll ask them things that they have an interest in. I'll ask them about what's going on in their life. I'll ask them about their classes. I'll ask them about their professors or their teachers, or I'll ask them about basketball because I know he's interested in basketball. I'll ask him about gaming or his friend or something like that. Why? Because I want to have conversation with them. Why? Because I want to connect my heart to theirs. And please don't say you don't have the ability to hear God. That's a lie. And I refuse. Everybody stand up. I'm just going to deal with that lie right now. Done made me mad. I just heard the devil speak. I did. I heard a devil speak and said, he said, no, some of them have been created not to hear God. That's bull. I don't know. You coming up or not? Come on up. No, come on. Yeah. How many want Dave to come up here? Yeah. All right. So I'm just being ordinary. It's the medicine. That was medicine right there. All right. Okay. In Jesus' name. This is Jesus that said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, if you're saying you're not one of his sheep, okay, then you got a bigger problem. You need to become one of his sheep if you want to be part of his kingdom. If you don't want to be part of his kingdom, he fully respects that and will allow you to embrace that. You don't need to live for Jesus. You get to live for Jesus. Are you with me? But if you desire to live for Jesus, if you desire to be one of his sheep, if you desire to follow after him, then may I suggest to you that he, the great shepherd, says, every one of my sheep, every one of them hear my voice. Stop living in the land of, I don't hear God. Stop living there. Stop living, but stop hooking your thoughts to that place and pulling from that realm. Why not believe the thought that Jesus spoke to you and said, my sheep hear my voice. I am one of his sheep, therefore I hear his voice. You say, yeah, but I don't know about it. The details, we'll work all those out, okay? But just start with my sheep hear my voice. I'm a sheep. Baa. Come on, everybody say it. Go, baa. Baa. I'm a sheep. It's okay. He's my shepherd, right? And so I hear his voice. Hey, listen, I have been challenged many, many times by darkness. The enemy has come right up in my face and said to me, how do you know that's God? And I come right up in his face and I say, because I know my God is bigger than you. And his ability to bring me truth is greater than your ability to keep me in deception. And if I'm in deception and I'm after God, he'll bring me truth. God's very good at keeping you in truth. My sheep know my voice. If they know my voice, then they'll embrace my thoughts. They'll hear my thoughts. If they hear my thoughts, then they can choose to embrace my thoughts. If they embrace my thoughts, then they have their rope hooked to heaven. And what happens? They begin to bring heaven to earth. And man, that hope begins to form. The goodness of God begins to become apparent to them. They begin to remind themselves of the goodness of God in the land of the living. They look at their checkbook and they put their checkbook in front of them. They speak to their checkbook. Hey, you listen to me. You're part of the seen realm. But I'm connected to the unseen realm. You're saying something, but my God is saying something else. So I speak to you that's in the seen realm, and I command you to come into alignment with what my Father is saying from the unseen realm. You will get out of the red, and you will come into the black. You're given a doctor's report. It's put in front of you. That's part of the seen realm. You are not bound by the seen realm. Your Father created you to be an imager of Him, of His will, to manifest His good opinion here and now. What is He saying about that diagnosis? Hey, I know you have some cancer cells in your body, but if you'll allow me, I'll heal it completely. That's a thought from God. Okay, my cancer is going to be healed completely. So you sit down and you take that report. You put it in front of you. Say, hey, doctor report. You say, that's silly to speak to a piece of paper. Hey, listen, how many times was something inanimate spoken to and it changed? Goodness sakes. If nothing more than for your sake, but speak to it. Command it to change. Hey, doctor's report. You say I have cancer. On top of that, devils have been saying to me that this is going to kill me. I reject that and I reject you in Jesus' name. Now, my Father in heaven says I do have some cancer cells. It's important to acknowledge the truth. Are you with me? All right? But you know what? My Father says I'm going to be completely healed. So I speak to you now, and I bring from the unseen realm that into the seen realm, and I declare my own healing. Ooh. You got a child not living for God. Do the same thing. Don't like slap them upside their head. Don't do that, all right? Speak from the unseen realm. How do you speak from the unseen realm? You connect to it. How do you connect to it? It's the thoughts you embrace. How do you get thoughts from the unseen realm? You talk to God. Let Him speak to your heart. You say, okay, but can I get those thoughts from the Bible? Sure you can. They're just as valid. just as important, absolutely necessary. As a matter of fact, the Bible is the framework by which I hear God. So listen to me. You're more powerful than you know. You understand from this little room, we can change the world. You understand that. From this room, if we embrace the things of God and we live in hope, we're people that pull from the unseen realm. Do you understand that you change the world? Do you understand that every time you, Judy, bring something from the unseen realm, that thing never returns void? But it accomplishes what it's supposed to, but it never goes back. The earth is now changed forever, and a measure of heaven has come to the earth. And how many of you know that's what we're to be about? Because we're about our Father's business. Are you with me? All right. Yeah, amen. Amen. Close your eyes. Lift your hands up to God. And just say this. This is important. Bah. I'm a sheep. I hear his voice. His voice gives me his thoughts. His thoughts, if I embrace them, connect me to the unseen realm of heaven. And I begin to pull from heaven to earth. And it begins to look like, right here in the earth, earth starts to look like heaven, which causes God to be attracted even more to where I am. And it causes those around me to see heaven more than they've ever saw heaven before. So Lord, I begin with this one thing. Bah. Listen, next time the enemy tries to bring a thought to you, you don't got to get real complicated. You don't got to be like super spiritual. Just go, bah. You know what that means? I ain't listening to you. I forget what movie it was from, but there was someone in the movie. When they didn't like something, they go, bah. Well, just change it a little bit. Bah. I'm a sheep. I follow Jesus. See, because the thoughts you previously had, the ways that you previously had, are being dispossessed by ways of heaven, thoughts from heaven. You can change your atmosphere around you, and you can change your situation. Embrace his thoughts. When you do, you'll live in hope. You'll be in that constant expectation of good. One last thing, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right stuff. Come on, lift your hands up one more time. So Father, cause us to be people who live in hope, that we are sheep, we follow our shepherd, we hear his voice, he connects us to heaven. We pull from the heavenly realm into the seen realm, and we change the realm around us. And all the people of God said, amen. Lord, bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for sharing the Father with us. Thank you for loving us so much that you made a way that we would again hear the voice of the Father. And all the people of God said, amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.